The first reading is from Isaiah 65, 17 to 25. And this has to be the lectionary reading this week, right? Because it was used at presbytery, so I got to hear other people practice it. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating, for I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. The next reading is from Imam Ali ibn Abu Talib, the Peak of Eloquence, Sermon 203. May Allah have mercy on you. Provide yourselves for the journey, because the call for departure has been announced. Regard your stay in the world as very short, and return to Allah with the best provision that is with you, because surely in front of you lies a valley, difficult to climb, and places of stay full of fear and danger. You have to reach there and stay in them. And know that the eyes of death are approaching towards you. It is as though you are already in its talons and it has struck itself against you. Difficult affairs and distressing dangers have crushed you into it. You should therefore cut all away the attachments of this world and assist yourselves with the provision of Allah's fear. The New Testament reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 21. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls."
Yes, Craig was right that the Isaiah reading is from the lectionary, as well as the text that he just read from Luke. The lectionary readings for today, as we're getting to the end of the church year. In fact, next Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year, Christ the King Sunday. There's a prayer in our Presbyterian Book of Common Worship that I have used often over my 27 years of ordained ministry at memorial and funeral services. I haven't used it at every memorial services, but I have used it often. And it has spoken to me consistently over these 3 decades of my ministry. I want to share it with you. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word will stand forever. In this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. O Lord, let us know our end and the number of our days, that we may learn how fleeting life is. Turn your ear to our cry and hear our prayer. Do not be silent at our tears, for we live as strangers before you, wandering pilgrims, as all our ancestors were. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. Amen. It is a prayer that knows it will not receive the answer it requests, and yet it requests anyway. Let us know our end and the number of our days. We don't get to know that. We don't get to know the number of our days in advance. We can only know, if we are courageous enough to pay attention to the signs, that our days are indeed numbered, but we don't know the number. At a deeper level, the prayer is a request for us to be given the courage to reflect on our mortality. Can we? Will we? Can we live fully in the agony of the reality that life is fleeting, that our flesh is as grass. There is a reason for idolatry. Idolatry, or the making of idols, or the worship of idols, is the big sin, perhaps the biggest sin. Yesterday at the presbytery meeting that was hosted here by Southminster, Reverend Rachel Strammel was examined for ordination into the ministry. Rachel serves at Orenco Presbyterian Church in Hillsboro, and she has served there for over a decade, I believe. And even as she has already served as a pastor, she wasn't a Presbyterian, and so she went through the process of becoming ordained as a Presbyterian Church USA minister. And her final hoop that she had to jump through was yesterday, and she had to be examined on the floor of presbytery. And she was asked about sin. What is it? And she gave the answer that Paul speaks about in Romans. Our big sin is to worship the created instead of the Creator. It is idolatry. And Rachel, by the way, will be an important addition to our presbytery and to the Presbyterian Church USA. I see in her, as did the presbytery, a person of great wisdom, humility, and depth. But why did Rachel point to idolatry as the big sin? What's wrong with worshiping, paying allegiance to, honoring, giving our fidelity to, ordering our lives around the created rather than the Creator? Well, there are many reasons. One is a practical one. When we engage in idolatry in many forms, and we all do, I do, you do, everyone does, no one, says the scripture, is without sin. When we do that, we try to cover the nakedness of our mortality. We try to avoid the void. We try to ignore the reality that the flower is fading. We try to make permanent that which is impermanent. We substitute fulfilling our desires for gaining our souls. From today's text from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is noticing as people are ogling the temple, how it was ordained, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God. Look at our beautiful building and all of its beautiful decoration. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it grand? Isn't it the most marvelous thing you've ever seen? Isn't it wonderful? Jesus doesn't deny how impressive it is. Herod's temple was magnificent. And we do build amazing buildings, skyscrapers and churches and sports stadiums with jumbotrons. Big buildings for whatever big image of God we have in our big brains. Jesus doesn't deny how gorgeous it all is. Jesus simply says, as for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be torn down. In other words, enjoy it while you can, friends, because it won't be here long. Then, what will you do? Then, who will you be? And within 40 years from the time that Jesus purportedly said this, the temple was razed to the ground in one of the many wars to end the wars. Jesus was teaching that even temples made for the glory of God can become idols. Look at our temple. Aren't we grand? Aren't we amazing? Aren't we special? Aren't we some pumpkins, as my mother used to say? Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We're given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. Our flesh is as grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word will stand forever. In this is our hope, for you are our God, even in the valley of the shadow of death. You are with us. A couple of churches back, one of my parishioners was named Riley Ostby. And Riley was in his mid-90s when I was there. And he used to say a couple of things to me that I remember. Not every Sunday, but on occasion, he would say, with a wink, "That was a good sermon. I admit I only say that because I agree with it." And he would also say, on occasion, "My body is deteriorating, but my soul is growing." I left that church before he died, so I didn't get to officiate at his funeral, which is another lesson about life. Things are left undone. Life is fleeting, and we are wandering pilgrims. We make plans for this day, for tomorrow, and the next, but we must remember to say, inshallah, God willing, as things can change in a moment. Idolatry is a sin. That is something that causes estrangement from ourselves and God and from ourselves and one another, because it substitutes that which is impermanent for that which is permanent. Idolatry keeps us from recognizing the grace that we are naked before God. We are vulnerable. We can admire our own resumes. We can admire the temples we have built. We can acknowledge our works. We can and we should. At funerals, we say, "She rests from her labors, and her works shall follow her." But the true test comes when all is stripped away, and not one stone is left upon another, and we are naked before our Creator. "Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling," says the old hymn. I included a reading from Ali ibn Abu Talib, peace be upon him. In one of his sermons, he said, "You should therefore cut away all the attachments of this world and assist yourselves with the provision of Allah's fear." Ali was the son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad. Ali married Fatima, the Prophet's daughter. And when I was in Iraq, I visited the shrine of Imam Ali in Najaf. And it is near the seminary that prepares students to become Islamic teachers. And it is near the largest cemetery in the world. The cemetery is called the Wadi al-Salam, or the Valley of Peace. And while we were there, we would see constant processions of people carrying caskets to the cemetery for burial. Continuous, a perpetual reminder of mortality. It is the perfect place for a seminary to be next to a cemetery, to teach students about the mysteries of God and to prepare them for ministry. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word will stand forever. In this is our hope, for you are our God, even in the valley of the shadow of death, even in Wadi al-Salam, the valley of peace. You are with us." Idolatry keeps us from being present to our mortality, to our vulnerability, to our need. And the role of true religion, regardless of the brand, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, true religion continually hammers away at our idols, knocking them down, stripping away our protective armor so that we can experience grace. It is grace in which we live and move and have our being. Every lesson is a lesson in grace. Every test is a test of grace. We gain our souls when instead of fighting the tests, instead of fighting the destruction of our idols, we accept their destruction. We welcome it, even if with tears. All flesh is as grass. All its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word will stand forever. And this is our hope. Amen. Invite us at this moment as we gather in this sacred and holy space, in this sacred and holy time, amongst a sacred and holy people. The presence of God in our midst. I invite you just to be free in that moment. That this is your life right now. This is our life. This is all of our lives. Whatever is past, whatever is future, this is real and now. And you are blessed. We are loved. Not because of our accomplishments, but because we are beloved of God. Nothing else can we bring. I invite you to take a moment and breathe in the grace of God, that you are enough. That we are enough together. And all that may have transpired and all that may to come is covered in the grace of God. We are forgiven, we are loved, and we are blessed and called to serve. So I invite, as you take just a moment, to breathe together the Spirit of God. May God bless you and God keep you. And with the grace, let us offer that grace to others in our mind and in our hearts and on our lips as we pray.